Welcome to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show, a real estate investment program. Listen and learn how to use real estate to build wealth and passive income streams for you and your family. We bring you experts every day to discuss and answer your questions on everything from single-family homes all the way up to 600-plus unit apartment complexes. And now, the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show.
Good afternoon and welcome to the show. This is Andy Webb with Lifestyles Unlimited. And as always, we are working on your financial freedom. So on today's show, I want to consider a single question with you. It's a question I got earlier this week from a listener, in fact. I'll give you some details around that. But the question, simply put, is how do you know when it's okay to retire? How do you know when you can retire? Right? I guess a corollary question to that might be, when can you retire? Right? What is the age, if you want to put it into that framework? And of course, if you've caught this show before, you know, we say it at Lifestyles Unlimited all the time, you can retire in 5 years or less, right? But how do you know when you're there, right? How do you know when you're there? And if you are new to the show, you know, that 5 years or less, we see people do it all the time following our roadmap. Now, it takes a little bit of decoupling from the standard system, the things you've been taught to date. It takes going a different path, right? Maybe one that's a little uncomfortable at first, but if you have the right mentor, if you have the right team in place, it's actually a very easy path to proceed down. And before you know it, you'll be checking that box. Well, I am retired, right? So what I'm going to do today, I want to give you a couple of essentially metrics, right? Or benchmarks might be a better word. That you might consider in order to measure, right, whether you've hit that point, whether you are ready for retirement. And you could also think of these as benchmarks in terms of goals, things to shoot for, things to aim, you know, towards. And it's not just a big number, like $1 million in the bank, right? Back in the day, $1 million, that's what you needed to retire, right? Or $4 million now in your retirement account, I think is the going number. $10 million, $20 million, you know, whatever it is. It's nothing like that, right? We're not going to talk about anything like that. We are going to talk about some hard numbers, though, kind of a quantitative sort of metric. And of course, there are other softer, more qualitative considerations as well. I'll probably mention a couple of those, you know, during the course of the show. And as a part of this conversation, we're going to look at the tools that we use to get there, right, as real estate investors. So, like I said, I got some good questions from a listener earlier this week, and that's really what prompted the show today. Now, here are just a few of his comments and questions. I give these to you now to help provide a little bit of framework for the show today. He did say, like me, he's got younger kids, right? This is part of his motivation. He wants to be able to spend more time with them, right? That was partly my motivation. He also said he enjoys his job, but does not want to do it forever. Right? Who does? You know, maybe you love your job, maybe you really do, but I'll tell you here in just a moment about what the Social Security Administration calls the NRA, not the National Rifle Association. NRA, in this case, is the normal retirement age and what they expect of you. And, you know, of course, just because you do reach that financial freedom that we talk about, if you love your job, you don't have to retire, right? You don't have to, but boy, especially right now in the midst of this pandemic and economic ups and downs, it is wonderful. It is wonderful to have that option. Okay, I'll tell you a little bit about that as well. And he also went on to say, you know, his current lifestyle is not quite where they'd like it to be, but they're getting close. And I'll just give you a couple of numbers that he mentioned to me. We're going to keep this anonymous, of course, but he joined Lifestyles in March of 2018, so just a little over 2.5 years ago, and has done a ton. And it's getting them closer. It's getting them closer. And now he says he's trying to balance, you know, providing a great lifestyle for his family versus retiring early and spending more time with his kids. And I've got to take that one apart right now, because those are not mutually exclusive. They're not mutually exclusive. You can do both. You can have that great lifestyle and you can retire and have more time with those kids. And finally, he asked me personally, Andy, hey, how did you figure out and decide when it's time to quit working full time? So I want to tell you how we personally applied those couple of metrics that we'll take a look at when we get a little bit further into the show. But let me ask you a question. What do you personally, listener, listening to the show right now, catching the podcast later, what do you think of when you think of retirement age? Conventional wisdom, that traditional track that we talked about, assumes 65 or maybe 67. The number varies, right? I mentioned that normal retirement age. Those are capitalized letters. That is a term. In fact, if you go to the Social Security Administration website, you can find a table. I'm looking at it right here. It talks about the normal retirement age. It's the age at which retirement benefits before rounding, right? That's important, are equal to the primary insurance amount. In other words, you're going to get the full amount is what they're saying if you retire at this age. So once upon a time, it was the same age for everybody. It was the same age for everyone. But back in 1983, I think they realized back then, hey, we're going to have some difficulty keeping this thing solvent. So we better make some adjustments. So they did, right? So now if you were born in, you know, before 1938, that retirement age is 65, that number most people think about. And then as you progress through the years, born in 1938, 39, et cetera, it starts to inch up a couple months at a time till you get to 1960 and later. That's my bracket. I'm in my mid-40s. For us, it's 67. So they made that change once, and I got to wonder, when are they going to make a change again? When is 67 going to become 68 or 70 or whatever, you know? I mean, again, you've probably heard in the news, the Social Security Trust Fund is expected to be insolvent in 2035. It's not that far away. Now, that does not mean that there is no more money, right, in the account, in the trust fund. What it means is that they're paying out more than they're taking in, okay? So they're making a net loss, and over time they will run out, and they are expected at that time, 2035, when they reach insolvency, to pay reduced benefits. And the numbers I've seen, it varies somewhere between 75 to 79% of current levels. So if you've got an account, you can log on to Social Security Admin website. You can see what your expected payout is. Well, if that's in 2035, now apply a 75% reduction, or reduce that to 75%. Okay. Cut off 25% of expected payout for you. That's it in a nutshell. And it doesn't matter what happens on November 3rd, whether President Trump stays put or candidate Biden takes over the White House. With Trump, there probably will be no change to that 2035 date. With Biden, they're projecting, yeah, it could shift back as much as 5 years. We're going to hit insolvency at some point. So I got to tell you, it's meaningless for me, someone in my mid-40s, to sit here today and think about whether I want to retire at 62, get partial benefits, 67 or 70. Hey, I don't want to wait. I don't want to do this on someone else's timeline. Stick around. I want you to wait. We'll be right back.
Del Walmsley talks about buying your way back from corporate America through real estate.
A massive change in my life. My personal residence I lived in was a one-bedroom condo, cost $425 a month. This covered it. My automobile car payment was only $300 and some a month. This covered it. I was buying my way back from corporate America. I could feel it.
Lifestyles Unlimited will teach you how to buy your way back from corporate America. Get in control. Get into our live online free workshop. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com. Welcome back to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Now, let's get back to your map to financial freedom.
Welcome back to the show. This is Andy Webb, and today on the show we are asking the question, how do you know when you're ready to retire, right? How do you know? I'm ready now. Are you ready now? I bet you are too. And we were talking a little bit about that normal retirement age, right? That's a term set by the Social Security Administration where they say, hey, if you retire at this age, you get the full benefits. If you were born prior to 1938, that's 65. If you were born in the 1943 to 54 bracket, that's an even 66. There's some months plus months fewer in between there. When you get to 1960 and later, which is my case, then that age is 67 for now, right? It used to be a flat 65 in the past, and we got to 1983 and that the administration changed their structure, right? Could they do it again? I would not be surprised. If you think about all the debt we've been taking on as a nation, the lack of pay into the system at the moment due to decreased revenues, everything else that's going on, that insolvency for the trust fund, for the Social Security Trust Fund of 2035 is when it's expected to be insolvent. And again, if you missed the earlier segment, that doesn't mean there's no money going out, right? They're still paying out. They're just not collecting as much as is being paid out, right? They're essentially bankrupt in that sense, but they'll continue to pay just at a reduced amount. Could they move that 67 age for me back? I wouldn't be surprised. Now, I'll tell you, I'm not reliant on them anymore. I'm not dependent. I'm not sitting here pondering what my Social Security payout will be because we've done the work. We've done what we needed to do to get off of that conventional wisdom track and do something different. Okay. Now, what I want to talk about now are some metrics, right, that we talk about here at Lifestyles Unlimited, things that you can think about. Benchmarks, really, is what it is. You know, we talk about it here, retiring in 5 years or less, right? If you go to our free workshop, for example, we'll talk to you about how you do that, how to retire in 5 years or less, right? How to get that financial freedom that we talk about, that how to, you know, which tools we use. And we'll talk about those tools here in just a little bit. But when you think about that financial freedom, when you set that goal for retiring far earlier than 67, right? Again, I'm in my mid-40s. One of the metrics that you want to think about or could think about are your household expenses, right? Just like that Social Security Trust Fund, well, they've got money going out the door. They need money coming in to cover that. And they may not as of 2035, right? So what is your situation? What you want to do is meet or exceed, even better, those monthly household expenses with passive income, right? From real estate, getting rental property into place that's throwing off cash every month, maybe quarterly, depends on your investment vehicle. Again, we'll talk about that, but you want to get that income coming in to offset those expenses, right? It's a simple calculation on your part, a little bit of homework you'll need to do if you haven't done this already. And I can tell you, my wife and I had, and we had a decent handle on what was going out the door every month prior to joining Lifestyles, but we got introduced to the model. We understood then what we needed to look at. And this is one of those things. So we sat down, we said, okay, what is our monthly outflow, right? You can look at things like fixed payments. Those are pretty easy to come up with. That's your mortgage, right? Now your principal and interest, you probably have a fixed mortgage payment. If you don't, lock in those low rates right now while you can, maybe pull out some cash as part of the process. But you've got that mortgage as your fixed payment. Now, sure, taxes and insurance, you may escrow. Most people do on their personal property, their homestead, but those can go up and down in theory. Right now they're going up and up and up. But consider that as part of your fixed payments. Your car payment is going to be fixed. Any student loan debt that you're paying down, maybe a regular health insurance premium that you're paying every month, gym membership. Yeah, that's pretty static, right? Maybe you're making payments on toys like motorcycles or boats or an RV, something like that. And then think about your variable payments, and variable might be something like utilities, right? My electric bill is going to start declining now that we've gotten away from the summertime. My heating bill, my gas bills are going to start going up. They're variable, right? What's the average? Try to figure that out. Healthcare deductibles, if you've been going to the doctor a lot lately, well, those are probably going to go up, may go down later, right? If you got more kids or fewer, right, that's going to be a driver there as well. And of course, any other living expenses, food, gas for the car, right? Entertainment. Are you going to the movies again? I talked to some friends of mine that recently went. I was a little surprised, but hey, they went out, they enjoyed a movie with one other couple in the audience. There you go. You know, and I mentioned childcare, pet care, and so on, but figure out what all that outflow is. Looking at your credit card statement, that may help you. But you probably have some, you know, EFTs, some electronic fund transfers or ACH payments, that sort of thing, auto bill payments. Be sure to collect everything, cash that's going out the door. Figure it out. Add it all up. And then you need to build up enough cash flow, enough passive income from your residential real estate investments to cover those expenses. And then maybe a little bit more on top, right? For saving, for investing in your next project. I'll tell you, once you start buying single family houses, that's been my avenue with my wife, is buying houses. Boy, once you start, you just want to keep adding. You know, it's addictive. You want to just keep building. It's easy to do. You find it's scary at first, but once you get going, it really is easy to build that portfolio. And of course, you may have some other, you know, I don't know, discretionary spending that you're not doing now, but maybe in the future, travel, right? Because when you retire yourself, guess what? You're going to have more time. You have more time to take that trip that you wanted to take after the pandemic, of course, but figure out what those numbers are. And that's your benchmark. You want to meet that expense, that monthly expense, meet or exceed it with your passive income. That's when you know you are retired, or you can retire, right? You've got that option. Metric number two, another option you might look at is your income. Rather than looking at the expense side of your P&L, look at the income side, right? Maybe you're looking just at your income. Maybe you both work, maybe you're married, maybe you're not. Simpler, right? Situation. But if you're married, you've got a significant other, boyfriend, girlfriend, whatever, look at your income. Maybe you look at their income or your income as a household. Give that some thought. Now, it's a sad statistic, but I got to put it out there now. You know, if you do some research online, about 80%, it's a little under 80, 78% or so, according to, actually, this was a 2017 survey done by Career Builder pre-pandemic, but back then, 78, you'll call it 80% of Americans were living paycheck to paycheck. Well, in that case, guess what? Metric one equals metric two. There's not a lot more to do there. But if you are living below your means and you want to make that income your metric, your benchmark, well, then do that. And I'll tell you as well, most people, and we did this here at in our household, most people focus on retiring one spouse then the other. Or I shouldn't say we focused on that. We retired one and then got to the second one later, me. But like I said, I hope you're meeting and exceeding your monthly expenses already with your income. And if that then becomes your benchmark, then it's obviously going to be a higher benchmark. And if you do consider income, be sure to look at the net. You've got your gross income. That's your salary before taxes and everything else you're paying out of there. Look at the net, because that's really what you're bringing home to pay those monthly expenses, to set aside for your annual trip or whatever you're doing. And because of the way that we invest in real estate, we talk about the five ways we make money on houses. One of those is the tax advantages. We pay practically little to no taxes on our cash flow because of the way that we build this, because of depreciation is a big piece of that puzzle. We won't get into that. But because of that, if you want to compare apples to apples, you need to look at your income net of taxes as well, right? And that's exactly what we did with my wife. So when we come back, I want to tell you just a little bit about how we got to where we are and answer my listener's question. Hey, Andy, how did you figure out how to quit working full time? You know, simple question. We'll get you there. Stay tuned.
Listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show will change your life. We will teach you how to create wealth and passive income so you can be financially free. And now, back to your host.
Welcome back to the show. This is Andy Webb, and on today's show, we're talking about retirement, right? When do you think you can retire? What is your target retirement age? Do you have you thought about it? Right now, if you think about the government, right, the Social Security Administration, they've got what's called a normal retirement age, normal in this sense, meaning you're going to get your full retirement benefits. It's anywhere from 65 to 67, depending on when you were born. I don't want to call this an abnormal retirement age. Let's call it atypical. I want to have an atypical retirement age, given what normally goes on in the rest of the country. I want to be retired at 40. Right, I'm in my mid-40s. So retirement in my mid-40s. You may be 30. You could be retired in your 30s. You may be in your 20s. You could be retired in your 20s. I mean, we see people do it all the time, right? You can retire in 5 years or less. And I mentioned the free workshop that we do where that question is addressed. Okay, it's about an hour and a half workshop. It's how I got started with Lifestyles Unlimited 8 or 9 years ago now. Live and in person, of course. We're not doing those live and in person right now, but we are doing those live online. Go to freeworkshoplivestream.com to read more about that. Find some dates. Again, that's freeworkshoplivestream.com. And if you've got any questions for me today on this topic or really anything else related to real estate that's been on the back of your mind for a while, give me a call. It's 855-497-4335. Again, 855-497-4335. Or send me an email to askandy@luinc.com. And I am addressing the concept, but behind today's show actually was triggered by an email I got earlier this week from a listener. And among other things, he asked me, you know, how did we figure out when to quit working full time? Now, we had a few metrics in place already, benchmarks of sorts, goals, let's call them, that we were targeting. We figured out when we started down that path, what are our monthly expenses? Kept an eye on those, right? From year to year, they change, don't they? And of course, we knew what our income was. And those were our two benchmarks. Now, our monthly expenses, fortunately, were under our monthly income. We live below our means. So that was our initial target, right? That we thought about anyhow, were our expenses. Secondary target was that income. Things didn't quite play out that way, though. And part of that relates to a less quantitative metric and a more qualitative issue. My wife hated her job. When she started there, it was great. She had a lot of opportunity. She was able to work up, but the place was miserable. The place, it was just toxic. You probably heard me talk about this if you've been listening to the show for any time. It was a toxic place. Came home in tears more than once. And I can remember getting a call from her. This was a number of years ago, 3 years into our investing path. I've been buying single family houses. We were up to 9 houses. I remember this. And she called crying again and I got to get out of here. And it was a no-brainer. We had already actually, as it were, met her net income with our passive income from those rental houses. So and at that stage, that piece was a wash. Get out of there. Tell them you quit. Give your notice, whatever you have to do. And she was out of there in no time. And boy, just watching the stress wash away from her over the next few weeks was amazing. Just a complete change. So for us, there was that qualitative piece there that really was the push. Again, fortunately, we'd gotten to the point where we had met her income. Like I said earlier, you know, you don't necessarily have to retire everybody all at once. Work towards one piece of the puzzle and then the next. We got ours a little bit out of order just because of circumstances. And that's okay because we started building. That's the key, is to get started, right? If you don't buy that first house and then that second, or get into that first multifamily passive investment deal and then the second and so on, you're not going to get there. But you got to start. Now, fast forward a couple of years, you know, I continued working. I continued buying houses. Once she left her job, she was out of the picture in terms of buying on the model we like to use, which is buying with hard money, fixing up the property, and then doing a refinance at the end into that long-term, very inexpensive Fannie Mae, you know, that government-backed loan, essentially. So without a job, that took her out of the picture. So I was the focal point. No problem. We kept working, and when we met and in fact exceeded our expenses, it was evident, hey, we're there. I didn't quit because, as it were, I do like my job, right? I'm one of those folks that enjoys what I'm doing. However, again, one of those more qualitative things came along, circumstances, as it were. We had a kid. We had a child many years into our progression. And quite frankly, that massively changed my perspective. You know, when we set out, the goal was simply to retire ourselves at some point. But that child, that changed it all. You know, now I want to spend more time with my son. Now, I didn't quit altogether, but I have downshifted. Right, to part-time, the equivalent of about 3 days a week, very flexible. I work in the travel industry. What's not to like? Oh, pandemic. Well, Andy, yeah, there are some issues. But what I do like is the double barrel income, as I think of it in my head, which is the income from our passive investments, as well as the income from that regular, well, less regular now in terms of working hours job, right? It packs a punch, allows us to continue invest faster, go farther, as long as I like what I'm doing. Could that change? It absolutely could. And I'll tell you a very important message here. We're in the midst of a pandemic. Here it is, late October, heading into a very questionable election, I suppose. Been dealing with, globally with this pandemic for a long, long time, seeing a lot of furloughs, seeing a lot of, just within our travel industry, right? We've been hammered. Furloughs, pay cuts, early retirement, dismissal, all manner of action. Have I been sweating bullets? Not at all. Because we've got that passive income in the background. If the pink slip comes tomorrow, I'm okay. If you've been investing in passive income, you understand that. You're okay. If you're not there yet, get started. If everything you're seeing going on around you right now is not sending up big red flags, you know, I don't know what to tell you, but it is time to get started, you know, and that free workshop that I mentioned is a good place to start. So again, I gave you two metrics, right? Things to think about, benchmarks, that the more quantitative stuff. When can I meet or even exceed my expenses? Or when can I meet or even exceed my net income? Or our net income as a household. So what we're going to talk about now, I want to shift gears and talk about the tools, right? How do you do it? How do we get there? Well, you've told us you invest in single family houses. That's the path that my wife and I chose. And again, we joined Lifestyles back in March of 2012. We sat down with a mentor and they looked at our personal financial statement. It's one of the things that you'll find also very interesting. And I welcome this very much now. Prior to joining Lifestyles, one of the things you don't talk about at the kitchen table, you don't talk about religion, you don't talk about politics, you don't talk about your finances, right? When you're sitting around, you know, Thanksgiving with your extended family. But at Lifestyles Unlimited, I've become very comfortable talking about those very things, finances in particular, right? That's the focal point here, of course. Talking about those deals, talking about what it took to get to that retirement. What were those expenses, right? It's a very open environment. So we sat down with a mentor and figured out that best path. So for us, that was single family. So let's start there. And let's talk about single families. And keep in mind at Lifestyles Unlimited, our investors are buying both single family investments as well as multifamily, right? Apartments. And when I say we're buying multifamily, that may be a single deal by yourself. That may be a group deal taking down something larger. We'll talk about that briefly. But a lot of people get started with single family because it's a little more digestible, let's say. We don't all have a ton of money that we're starting with. That's kind of where we were at. So we needed capital, and we built that capital through those single family houses. So when I talk about a house, right, on average, we're cash flowing about $400 a month. Sometimes we'll take down a deal that may be a little less cash flow, but more equity from the outset, or the inverse may be true. Maybe a little less equity, but a lot more cash flow. It could be anywhere from $200, $300 a month up to I recently saw a deal for $600, cash flowing net at the end of the day, $600 a month. But on average, I've seen about $400. So I tend to work with that number when I'm planning, when I'm thinking back then, when I was thinking about my situation. So I hear the music kicking on. We're going to pick up this conversation talking about using single family houses to achieve that financial freedom, to hit those benchmarks, whether it's metric one, your monthly expenses, or metric two, your net income. We'll talk about that when we continue, so stay tuned.
One of the things I'd like to get across is that your whole life you wanted to make a change, right? But you never had the time. This might be it, because we have online education that you can get involved in.
We're now going to bring the free workshop to the entire country and really the world. Anybody who is interested can participate in that. We're going to live stream that free workshop and have people online with you on the live stream, talking with you, answering questions, interacting. You're really going to get a great feel for the lifestyles community from this. And you can register for that. So if you want to find out about us, this is a great way to take a look at us and what we do.
Lifestyles Unlimited has been helping people succeed since 1990. Join us for our free online real estate workshop and learn the 7 principles we teach to run our businesses and provide for our families. Register at lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com. That's lifestylesunlimitedworkshop.com.
Welcome back to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. It's time to turn up the volume and fine-tune your passive income plan so you can create the lifestyle you've always wanted.
Welcome back to the show. This is Andy Webb, and today we're talking about your retirement, right? When can you retire? How do you know that it's okay to retire? Right. And as part of that conversation, I've given you a couple of common benchmarks, right, that we use at Lifestyles Unlimited. We'll talk about meeting or exceeding your expenses as one metric. Another one might be your income. For some people, 80% of the nation, unfortunately, those are the same. If you're making a higher income and spending, you know, wisely, then maybe there's a differential there. Maybe that higher benchmark is your income, meeting or exceeding your income or your household income. And this is all triggered by a question I got by a listener. Great questions that he asked. And I mentioned a minute ago the free workshop. I want to throw that out there again before we get to the end of the show. We are in the last segment here. I want you to check this out. It's freeworkshoplivestream.com. You can go there. You can learn a little bit about what we talk about at the free workshop. You can see some of the dates. We have these going on frequently because they are online now. October 27th, 29th, November 3rd. By the way, November 3rd, Election Day. It's getting here real fast. If you're listening to me in Texas right now, early voting goes through the 30th. So you got a few more days. We did our voting a week ago on Saturday, and it took us far less time to get into the actual booth. And it took us to do, my wife and I, to do the voting. Here's why. Number one, if you think back to May of this year, we commonly have a lot of local elections that are voted upon then. Those typically, most of those were moved due to COVID to November. So there's a lot more on that ballot, number one. Number two, you may not know this, but our state legislature here in Texas, we used to be able to do what's called straight ticket voting. You just check the Republican box, or you just check the Democrat box, or you just check that Libertarian box, and your vote goes cascades down to all of those. That has now been removed for the first time. You got to go through and bubble in each and every one on that Scantron. So it took us quite a while. So if you're going to wait to the last minute, November 3rd, build in some time. Be prepared. Okay. But back to our free workshop, November 3rd. You know, if you need to decompress after the election. Stop focusing on the polls. That's a great night to do it, November 5th, and we'll have more. So you can check out that. You can see some of the information we'll talk about there. There will be some case studies. Okay, we're going to talk a little bit about the numbers around single family, for example, here in a second, but you'll get into that there as well, and multifamily. Multifamily is very powerful. I'm not going to get into a lot of details there today, but more importantly, I want you to scroll down on that page, freeworkshoplivestream.com. Scroll down to the very, very bottom. I love case studies because, again, in the sense of a benchmark like I gave you today for measuring when you could retire, right? When do you know you're ready? I like benchmarks, and I like to see what others at Lifestyles Unlimited are doing. And like I told you a second ago, it's a very open book environment. We do share a lot of information. That's why I love going to the case studies. But if you scroll down to the bottom, you'll see, for example, Mike and Sarah referenced here. Recent deal, they got a cash on cash return of 14% and a return on their capital gain of 70%. They've almost doubled their money right at purchase and rehab, right, on a single family house. Talks a little bit about what they've done in the single family sphere. So you can get your mind around that a little bit better. And below that there is, or next to that, depending on your browser, right, we got Sean and Heather. And they joined a while ago, 2008. They've been with us for a long time here at Lifestyles Unlimited. Started out like I did, right? Single family. Picked up a good portfolio. It says here 16 doors, 16 homes. And now they're lead investors in 5 multifamily communities. It gives you a little bit more information there. So check that out. Read that, because that's who you're interfacing with. Those are your fellow investors at Lifestyles Unlimited. That's who we hear from and see at the case studies. By the way, the deal they outlined here it's a recent one, projected 3-year return of 139%, meaning they're more than doubling their money in 3 years. So apartments, we're not going to get into the numbers here, but great way to go. So back to that single family house, right? I told you on average, I think about it in terms of $400 a month. Net cash flow, right? I'm up in Dallas-Fort Worth. And how we're measuring that basically is, right, you're collecting your gross rent from your resident. You've got your fixed cost, your what we call PITI, principal, interest, taxes, and insurance, basically your mortgage, taxes, and insurance. Net of that, you know, maintenance is very, very minimal if you follow the model that we talk about here at Lifestyles Unlimited, which is best product, best price. When we pick up that asset before we rent it out, we go in and we fix everything that needs fixing. We make it more modern, more up to date. You know, if we think it's going to break in the next 3 to 5 years, we take care of it now. That puts our repairs into our loan, essentially. We roll those in, and it minimizes that maintenance going forward. So based on that, yeah, we tend to see about $400 a month, sometimes higher, sometimes lower, on any single deal. This is what you'll find as you progress, though, as you start to view that as a portfolio, like the 16 houses that Sean and Heather had, and it starts to behave a little bit differently at that point. And it's very easy to get there. 16 houses may seem like a lot, but it's very easy to go fast with those homes. In fact, we had a class taught at the Lifestyles Unlimited Wealth and Passive Income Expo this year down in Houston in February, where they talked about how to buy 10 houses in one single year. So if it doesn't seem possible to you, I'm here to tell you, number one, it is. I've seen people do it. I see them doing it all the time. It, of course, depends on your capital, your starting point, right? That's where the mentors step up to help you figure out the best course of action and where to go with your investing, but it can absolutely be done. Now, back to those two metrics. When can I retire? Well, if your benchmark is your household expenses, I call that metric one here today. Let's say you've sat down, you've penciled it out, all those expenses you got, fixed, variable, otherwise. And on average, you're spending about $4,000 a month. Well, if on average, you're also picking up cash flow per house of $400, what do you need? You need 10 houses, which you can do in a year. Metric one. Metric two, if you're measuring against your net household income, let's just say your household income is $60,000 after taxes. I'm not worried about it was gross because you're paying all that money to the government. We're not doing that with our investments in real estate. So if you're netting 60K, what do you need? About 13 houses, right? How did I get there? 400 per month times 13 is a nice 5,200 in your pocket each month, $5,200 times 12, right? Puts you at 62K per year. 10 houses, 13 houses. Sean and Heather did 16. We're there as well. I mean, you can do it too, but you got to get started. That's pivotal. That's single family. What about multifamily? Multifamily offers a lot of different paths. You can say, I don't want to do any lifting. I don't want to have to think about this. I want to put my money into the pot as a passive investor, which a lot of people do, and collect my mailbox money. Now, your houses are going to cash flow. You're going to get that every month. If you go into a deal as an apartment investor, typically that's going to be a quarterly payout. Monthly, quarterly, I don't care. You're collecting that mailbox money. You're collecting that passive income, and you're going to build it up to the point where you don't have to ask me, when can I retire? I'm already there. So you could be a passive, or you may want to be a little more hands-on. Maybe you want to control the deal. Maybe you want to be that lead, what we call a lead investor here at Lifestyles Unlimited. That's a syndicator. That's the person that's managing the project, putting the deal together, assembling those passive investors, collecting all that money. Everyone's throwing that money into the pot to take down a big apartment deal. You wouldn't be able to do that by yourself. Maybe the lead couldn't either. You get your funds together. You take down this deal. Enjoy economies of scale, among other things. And that allows you to move forward with that apartment. And then you do the next one. Then you do the next one. You know, thinking back to the passive investor, we've got passive investors here that have been with Lifestyles for a number of years. They've got 30, 40, 50 deals. It's crazy. I mean, you can really, really move with the multifamily. Of course, maybe you say, I don't want to have any partners. You can do that, right? You can be what's called an IRO, an independent rental owner, basically a solo investor. You're buying that apartment yourself. We see that a lot, right, with smaller multifamily, maybe 6 units, 10 units, 16, 20, and so on. So, you know, there are different paths. There are different paths. I've seen folks start as single family, then roll into that multifamily as a passive, and then eventually become a lead. I've seen people that just go in as family passive the whole way. I've seen people start as that small complex owner, as an IRO, like I said, independent rental owner, and then shift into that multifamily lead role. Or maybe they start with multifamily and start to dabble a little bit in single family because it's fun. It is fun. Let me tell you, back to the listener that sent me the email that triggered this thought for me today. You know, he joined in March of 2018. And so just like I said, a little over 2 years, in that time, he's picked up 4 single family houses. And I don't know what market he's in. He didn't tell me, but 4 single family houses. And he's also gotten into 6 multifamily deals as a passive in 2 years. And he said he's getting very, very close, just needs 8 more houses. Very doable in a very short period of time. I'll tell you, if you've never bought a rental house, a single one, 8 may sound like a lot, but it is not. You know, how do you eat an elephant one bite at a time? Pick up that first house. It gets easier and easier. You start to build up that cash flow snowball. I won't go into that today, but it allows you to move faster and faster. And for this guy, it's going to go fast. So back to a couple of his other questions. You know, he asked about exchanging time for quality of lifestyle. And that's what I want to end the show talking about or focusing on, is it's not a mutually exclusive concept. You can do both. You can have both. Just figure out where's that benchmark in order to have both. If you have to sacrifice the time or sacrifice the income, pull the time trigger a little bit earlier, like my wife did, do that. But you can still keep moving. You know, she's still investing. We're still investing. You can do the same, but you have to get started. I'm going to send you back to that website I just mentioned, freeworkshoplivestream.com. Come check us out. It's free. Tired of watching the polls on November 3rd? Come listen to us. freeworkshoplivestream.com. And I thank you for listening today. This is Andy Webb. You've been listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. And remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle. You have a good day.
Listening to the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show. Ready for more of the map? Visit lifestylesunlimited.com. Explore our videos and articles. Click on the radio tab to access past show podcasts. View the radio show schedule and listen to our best of radio shows. Want to continue the conversation? Follow Lifestyles Unlimited on Facebook today. Join us next time. And until then, remember, it's not the money, it's the lifestyle.
The information and opinions you hear on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show are those of the hosts, guests, and callers and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Lifestyles Unlimited Real Estate Investor Radio Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.